Submission to him is recognizing he is on the throne of our heart. We must dethrone anxiety and fear and any fruits of darkness that is poisoning your heart. The lines of demarcation will be the separation of the wheat from the chaff, light and darkness, his children and the world's. We must move with the flow of the Spirit. When you are in the fire, are you responding in surrender or resistance? If we don't set boundaries around our heart and allow our feelings to dictate our response, we will stay stuck and decay in the chaos.
Hey guys, welcome to an episode of Rebuilding Ruins. You guys know the drill. It's your girl, Amina. You know I had to do it. That's just going to be my thing. You know, we all have to have our signature thing. But anyways, I'm so excited for you guys to join me today. My heart has just been on fire. I've been so excited. Oh my gosh, I don't know why I sound like I'm hitting puberty or something. What is that? We told you guys we were going to celebrate Purim, and that was a success. A buffet of food, desserts, drinks. It was the bomb. If my teenagers found out that I said the bomb, I'm never going to live that down. But anyways, we had the place decorated all like a Persian harem and ancient Persian music playing. But what truly ignited my spirit was the Million Women documentary, which was fire. It's a powerful testament to the strength of prayer and fasting. Witnessing women united in faith during Yom Kippur reminded me of the vital mission of rebuilding ruins. This documentary is free on YouTube. I'm actually going to link it because you guys have to see it. It is so inspiring, and we just need to be ignited sometimes. Me, my daughters, and a good friend of mine went and joined hearts with all these other women that were just engaging in prayer and fasting for our nation, for our families, and coming out of agreement with lies that we've been believing. It was so special to relive all those moments. It just reignited that fire. You know, like when you go to a conference and you're like, yes, I'm so ready. And you get home, and then as you start engaging in the warfare, God help us all, you start getting discouraged and like, man, this is exhausting. I need a nap. So we just have to keep that fire going. Keep stirring it with prayer and fasting and worship, and to remember why we're doing what we're doing. When we forget the whys, it can cause us to get swallowed up in the fierceness of the battle. As the whys start to dwindle away and you start getting back into routines, you start to question, did I really hear from God? Even question your capacity to withstand. But when you're in a situation where you're being poured into and fired up and you're with a body of believers that are also engaging and contending, you feel the energy and you're just ready. You're ready to go to war. You're ready to go back and take that fire with you. So yeah, that was a special time. And it was so amazing to relive that. It made me so emotional. It really hit me. They were showing all the headlines that have been answered on account of the Esthers being summoned and praying and fasting and crying out. It was what Joel talks about, to consecrate a fast, gather the assembly, cry out to the Lord. That's what we were doing. And you know what? That's what we need to do with our families. Right? We need to assemble them, consecrate a fast, and cry out before the Lord and just humble ourselves and see what the Lord has to say to us in this day and hour, and even reignite the vision for our family. Because anybody who has teenagers out there, I'm praying for you. Pray for me and I'll pray for you. We'll just start a support group. It's real. It's really real. But as I've been praying, the thought of lines of demarcation came to mind. And I was like, what is demarcation? So I looked it up. Demarcation is the marking of the limits or boundaries of something. I feel like that is what God is longing to do, establish a boundary around his people. It reminded me of the Israelites in Goshen. Goshen was not touched with the trials of Egypt. There was a distinction between God's people and Pharaoh's. To be established as God's people, there are some practices that we have to submit to, weight and sin that has to be stripped off so that we can be established as his. Many people who have been in relationships understand that words only go so far. Needs to be action behind the word to give it meaning. Otherwise, we find that the trust begins to dwindle and the value of that person's words become meaningless. For our first demarcation, it's the dividing line between doing it our way or his way. Submission. You see this theme in scripture about the value of submission. If we respond to God's invitation, he responds with a blessing. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Notice this part. If my people, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, that's a lot of ands, from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Living a life of obedience and submission is how we will inherit what he has for us. It's like our signature. We are coming into agreement with it. How many times do you do that to your children? If you eat your dinner, then you can have dessert. If you do your chores, then your friend can come over. There is an exchange for the lesser, which is what we give to God, for the greater, which is what God gives to us. I have been fasting. And one thing I am fasting is coffee. And if anyone knows me, it's at the same level as the air I breathe. So there I was cooking breakfast one morning. And I'm like, oh, let me go make myself a cup of, nope, can't do that. I'm fasting coffee. So I began to feel sorry for myself. Like, oh man, I'm so tired. How am I going to make it through the day? I forgot I'm fasting coffee. Like, this is so rough. And, you know, feeling sorry for myself, spiraling to my boo-hoos and my woes is me. And I'm like, oh God, are you sure I can't have coffee? And I'm just praying in my head, like, this is ridiculous. At least, you know, and I'm feeling convicted to not have coffee. And I just felt the Lord was like, Are you doing me a favor or am I doing you a favor? I'm extending an invitation to you and you're treating it like a punishment. So if you're going to see it as a punishment, then go drink the coffee. But if you're going to see this as an invitation, then by all means, receive the invitation with a heart of gratitude and expectation. And then I just shut my mouth and continue to stir those eggs because I was pretty much put in my place. Heart posture is everything. There was times when I have asked my husband to help do something, and I'm not trying to throw him under the bus because I've had my shady moments too. But you know, a lot of you ladies might identify, or I might be the only one. That's fine too. But there was times when I asked my husband to help do something, and asking turns to begging, and begging turns to yelling, and you guys get the point. Then when the breakdown has happened, he will step in to finally do what I asked, begged, fought for, but he will do it in a way that's like, fine, like it's a burden. Then at that point, I don't even want it. I'm like, I'd rather just do it than to go through the emotional exhaustion of pleading for help. I'd much rather he see my cues of exhaustion and frustration and step in and offer to help because he sees and values the work I'm doing. So 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 19 says, "But if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land."
which I have given them, and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. God is no different. He wants us to do things from a place of love and obedience, not sacrifice. And not because we have to. Everything we do for the Lord, from changing a diaper to making a delicious meal, which my husband has done, so I'm going to give him a little brownie points on that one. He does a whole lot more than that. He's amazing. So I didn't want to just throw him under the bus without giving a little bit of balance there, you know. But God will take you as you are and work your heart towards a corrected view like he did mine. I didn't start the fast with a corrected heart posture, and he just kind of realigned me to be like, girl, you better check yourself. He went a little ghetto on me, but that's okay. I needed it. It's not an I have to. It's I get to. This fast is an invitation for going deeper in the Lord, understanding him more. It's an honor. Remind me of this tomorrow morning. It's all about perception, which brings me to my next point of being marked by God, perception. He wants to shift our focus from how everyone else sees things to the way he does. The line of demarcation in this instant is the line between being earthly or kingdom-minded. It will go from what everyone else sees while walking with their legs to seeing things with an aerial view, the perception of heaven. Circumstances will no longer look the same. Your mindset will shift from earthly to kingdom-minded. We cannot be his children with a focused vantage point that will stir up anxiety, stress, depression, fear, anger, and all the things that the dust kicks up when we get triggered. If we look at the story of Elisha and his servant, we see the power of perspective. The shifting of confidence takes place when we have the view of heaven. Shifting vision means shifting confidence. In this story, Elisha prayed. This is Elisha, not Elijah, just to clarify. But Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be open, and at the same time praying that the eyes of the opposing army would be blinded. Notice the line between God's people having open eyes and not his people being blinded. This story is talked about in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. King of Aram. So to give you a little bit of context, the king of Aram is finding out that the king of Israel is discovering all their strategies of battle. And at this point, he's enraged and he's wanting to know what's up. Like, how do they know what's going on? And it's God telling this to Elisha and Elisha relaying this to the king. So this is what happens when we stay connected with the Lord. He gives a strategy. Verse 11, this enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel. I'm going to read it to you like I read it to my kids. None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go, find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next day, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered, very confident. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Mic drop. That was pretty gangster. I am praying that my faith will be at that level someday. Here again, the theme of trying to catch people unaware at night when the defenses are down and they're caught unguarded. That's what the king of Aram was trying to do to Elisha. But what was great was the dependency the servant had on Elisha when he asked him what they were supposed to do because the army was surrounding them. This is a level of dependency we are to have on the Lord. We cannot move in anointing or power if our eyes are caught up in the physical realm. The enemy longs to weaken our spirits by us looking at circumstances through the eyes of the flesh, seeing that army defeated Elisha's servant until his eyes were opened to the heavenly realm. By being consumed by fear, which is the ultimate gateway to torment that will keep us caged into obedience to the enemy. Fear keeps us from unlocking our identity in hearing the voice of God. Fear is a weight that keeps us from running. This is why Hebrews 12:1 commands us to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Cling so closely. Clings. The meaning of the word clings in the Greek means easily surrounding, encircling, being easily distracted. Essentially, what the army was doing to Elisha, they were surrounding, encircling, attempting to distract. So their focus becomes more about the great and fierce army of the enemy. While this is happening, we see the Lord's army is standing on the hills, ready for action, and there is more of them than there are of the army of Aram. The Lord was a wall of fire around them. Zechariah 2:5 says, "And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst." Receive that. Receive it all. This is the confidence of having our vision aligned with heaven. We will be able to come face to face with our enemies, just as Elisha had done, and lead them away. God wants his people to have strategy, confidence, wisdom, insight, breaking the blindness off others by our faith being in line with heaven and our confidence resting in his abilities and character. Our confidence must rest in God's goodness because of our infallibility. Just as Psalm 27 verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God." So many times we want to put our trust in things that we feel like we can control and hope that we will get a better outcome. But our trust must remain in the Lord our God. We saw in the garden the appeal to partake in the fruit was this idea that I can be like God, this idea of control. I mean, don't we all try to claim that role? And so this is where submission is so key. We see that in the lives of people that have succeeded throughout Scripture. We see that in the lives of people that have succeeded throughout Scripture was they were at their greatest when they were living a life of submission. As long as we are living in submission, God longs to unveil the secrets of heaven. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." That was my kids' memory verse from church. So shout out to that. They came out running with their coloring pages and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm reading this verse and it's ministering to me. But there are great and unsearchable things that the Lord longs to share with us. Why don't I know about these things? Because the invitation is there. And yet we walk around here like a bunch of bumbling fools sometimes. And we're like, I don't know what to do. What should I do about this? I need creativity or wisdom for this. My God, this sounds like my everyday conversations in my head. Oh, guilty. It's like, man, if we can really take hold of that verse and call to him because he longs to unveil those secrets and tell us the great and unsearchable things that we do not know. And I know we could benefit from it. This is our invitation, that there is a wealth that is for us to grab hold of, but we must cling to him. Call to him when our feelings come at us like a flood, when confusion is at our worst, when everyone's back is turned against us. God longs to take us from glory to glory. I believe there is a spiritual earthquake that has taken place, and for some of us, it's still happening. It has caused God's children devastation and loss. How you responded in the season of shaking is how you will be rewarded in the next. Did you allow the pain to be the doorway that you used to walk through to get you into his heart? Or has it become your destination that you live in? And now you're entangled in anger and bitterness. Now is not the time to be void of prayer. Your prayer life is the key that will unlock doors that you have been banging on for years. Matthew 18:18, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We have authority we have not even stepped into. We have been so worn down and discouraged. Many of us have surrendered to whatever happens. We've adopted a poisonous mentality. Well, that's life, a defeated life. We are victorious and heirs to a promise. Those keys will unlock understanding the character and nature of God. We need this revelation because from this place is our breakthrough. Do you know the Lord's heart and ways? Do you know what he longs to release globally and personally? Your identity has been tangled up in the mouths of others, but I believe the Lord wants us to pull the scroll from his mouth because on it is who he says we are. We must be reading his decrees and laws. How can we be citizens of a kingdom we know nothing about? How can you receive an inheritance you're unaware of? Walking in obedience, heeding his voice is not an option. It's our lifeline. It's clinging to the mercy seat. Just as in the Old Testament, when they clung to the ram's horns that were on the corners of the altar. Luke chapter 1, verse 69, he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. We no longer have Old Testament horns we cling to, but he has become the horn of salvation we must cling to when we need mercy and protection. You cannot be double-minded, but resolute. We have to catch the sins, the issues while they are small, dealing with heart issues of unforgiveness, jealousy, anger, gossip, slander, whatever he's dealing with in your heart. Those things will spoil your heart and compromise the fruit he is desiring to plant within us. We are the garden the Lord is planting. Who doesn't want love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control? My kids' songs are coming to mind of them singing the Fruits of the Spirit song. But submission to the Lord is essential. When fear and anxiety creeps in, what does his word say about how we are to respond to those feelings and if they are even supposed to be a part of us? And asking the Holy Spirit for awareness and strategy so we don't readily receive those feelings, but submit to God's voice. Set the line of demarcation in your heart. Fear, you're crossing the line. feelings of not being enough, you're crossing the boundary. That boundary in your heart must be set apart. It's God's territory. You see your kids struggling. No, set a boundary around your children in prayer. My kids belong to the Lord, my marriage, my finances. Set the boundaries, not just with your words, but lean into His Spirit and see how He wants you to respond. Submission to Him is recognizing He is on the throne of our heart. We must dethrone anxiety and fear and any fruits of darkness that is poisoning your heart. The more we submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from us, as James 4:7 says. Our confidence isn't in what we wear, what we look like, the talents we possess, the name we carry. Our confidence is in the God we choose to submit to. It is the answer to the Jezebel spirit that has rose to cause chaos, destruction, control, intimidation, confusion, fear, and wearing down the Lord's saints. Submission is how we will gain strength and awareness to the foxes in our life. The lines of demarcation will be the separation of the wheat from the chaff, light and darkness, His children and the world's. We must move with the flow of the Spirit. When you are in the fire, are you responding in surrender or resistance? If we don't set boundaries around our heart and allow our feelings to dictate our response, we will stay stuck in decay in the chaos. Guys, I hope this has blessed you. And if you guys feel like this has been a blessing to you, hit that like, comment, subscribe. I'm going to go ahead and close this out in prayer. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that you are not a God that lies to us, that deceives us, that manipulates us, but you are a God that longs to give life and life more abundantly. Father, I pray that you drop the scales from our eyes and the eyes of those in our household, that we will see things with spiritual eyes, that our minds will be transformed to kingdom-minded. Father, I ask that you speak to us in ways that we can come into full submission to your will, Father, whether that's fasting, whether that's giving things up, whether that's implementing practices in our home. Father, I pray that we will become sensitive to that. I pray, Holy Spirit, you will rise up within us and convict us. Forgive us for sin in our life. Forgive us for being complacent and apathetic. And I pray that you would revive our hearts, that from our belly, rivers of living water will continue to flow, that we will be an endless spring giving grace and truth and speaking in love and authority. Father, I ask that you will make pathways in the wilderness for us, pathways that will lead us straight to the promised land. God, I ask that you would remove all fear, all anxiety. May we be void of that and filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Fill us with your fruits and not the enemy's fruits. Father, I thank you that if you are for us, who can be against us? May our confidence be solidified in you, that when we are fighting, when we feel like we are all alone in this battle, and many of us may be the only ones in our household that are trying to hold the line and contend, and you just feel the fierceness of the warfare that is coming against you. You feel like just wanting to let go and give up and quit. I just want to encourage you right now, stand strong, because in due season, if you continue what you are doing, you will reap a harvest. Don't get tired of doing what is good, because you will reap a harvest. Father, I pray that we will cling to the truth. When storms of accusations, when the storms of lies try to bombard our minds, Father, I pray that you will raise a standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, may you raise a standard of truth, that it will prevail in our heart and our mind, that we will cling to it, Father, and that we will walk by faith and not by sight, that we will realize that it is not by might nor by power, but it is by your Spirit. May we be in lockstep with your Spirit. May we honor your Spirit in our home and in our lives. I come against any assignment of the enemy in Jesus' name that is sent forth to destroy the destiny and the purpose, the identity that is written on the hearts of your people, Father, that is written in our DNA. I come against the enemy right now in Jesus' name. I command all those weapons, those plans to cease. I command you to retreat in the name of Jesus. You have no place here. We have set the boundary around our hearts, and we have dedicated our hearts and our minds to the living God. We have dedicated our hearts to you, Lord. Send your angels to guard our hearts, just as you sent the cherubs to guard the entrance of Eden. I pray for that wall of fire around each and every one of my listeners, around their families, around their possessions, around their land, around their homes. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you so much for listening. And if you want to help a sister out, feel free to like, comment, and subscribe. And until next time, continue to rebuild your ruins.
Rebuilding Ruins. Catch me every Tuesday. If this has blessed you, make sure to share. If you're watching on YouTube, leave a comment on how this episode impacted you or topics you would like to hear on future episodes. Don't forget to subscribe to keep up on all the latest content. Until next time, my fellow builders.